Welcome to the Late Breaks Hot Takes American F1 Podcast, bringing you post-race analysis, predictions, sports betting, and often outrageous hot takes. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at F1 Hot Takes Pod. Now, on to the show.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Late Breaks Hot Takes. I'm Cole, as always, joined here with Zano and Risk, the Late Breaks Hot Takes crew, here to give you the recap and all kinds of shit talking about Ferrari from the crown jewel of Formula One, the Monaco Grand Prix. Crazy weekend, brought by a lot of rain on quali day, and just I'm not even gonna sugarcoat it. Just a horrible strategy call from Ferrari. We've been talking about it all season. Ferrari's going to Ferrari themselves at some point. And for those of you that wondered what that meant, this weekend was a case study on Ferrari themselves.
So much pain. That's all I have to say.
So Zano, have you sobered up? Have you sobered up from the what I'm sure was a binge session after that letdown?
Dude, it was so brutal. I mean, it's funny too, because the whole weekend I was talking about how Charles is going to wreck, or he's going to lose an engine, or he's going to do something to DNF, and I would have preferred that. It's just so much pain when he looked so good and he didn't screw up himself this time. I mean, it's the curse, obviously, but
hey, baby steps, though. I mean, baby come steps. On.
I mean, it did, and then I talk a lot of shit about Ferrari and Leclerc, but man, he did everything right this weekend.
And he did.
His team did everything wrong. Starting in quali, putting him out in kind of an off cadence. You know, than what everybody else was doing, left him pretty exposed. And he was not happy about that. And then obviously in the race, we had I don't even know what to call it. Is it just like a pit stop strategy meltdown?
It's just mismanagement.
Panic attack.
We can get into it later, but yeah, I don't think the quality thing was that big of a deal. I think that's just the first time you saw Charles with a lot of stress because it's Monaco, and he kind of freaked out a little bit. But I mean, that was in what, Q1 or Q2, so really no harm, no foul. Q3 was fine. So
yeah,
the race was just
that's about as good of a Monaco race as you're gonna get, though.
I was gonna say I think that was one of the more entertaining Monaco races.
It was one of the more entertaining races we've had this year, I thought. Even though there was no passing or really any like. Well, I mean,
I think it was just the craziness,
what could have happened.
It was a little bit of a train wreck of a race, right? Like, and not that,
which I support as an agent of chaos.
As an agent of chaos, yeah,
I support just wackiness.
But yeah. I like chaos on the track, not chaos because of I don't know. There wasn't a lot of chaos, you know, actually driving wise. There was some questionable stuff, but for the most part, it was clean. It was just other events.
Yeah. But you knew this was going to I mean, from the second that the rain started to look like it was coming in, and then, you know, they delayed the start of the race. And you know, for 5 minutes, and they delayed it for another 5 minutes, and they delayed it for 10 minutes. And they ended up, I mean, ultimately it was delayed for close to an hour, 45 minutes, an hour by the time it got going. They came out after the fact and said that apparently one of the reasons they had delayed the race in the beginning was that the rain that came down messed up the lights for the start finish, or for the starting lights. So their system, like, I guess, had a power surge or a power failure somehow in the rain. And so that caused it. And then they didn't want to, for some reason, they didn't want to start like with everybody on different tires. So they made the call to go to, it was going to be a safety car start. And there was even confusion if those first like lap or two around the track were considered race laps or not, because on the scoring it was, but then they were saying the race will start at a certain time. But ultimately everybody, what they did was they, did a safety car start. Everybody had to start on the wets, which took away, I think, what would have been a pretty exciting opportunity to see how different people were playing in with tires and how risky people were willing to go, and chaos at turn one. Probably would have resulted in a red flag either way, but at least it would have shaken things up a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. I was kind of disappointed in that. I wanted to see what was going to happen. But I don't know. The FIA or F1 or whoever's making those calls now has been weird about that. It's like they're scared of racing the rain all of a sudden.
Yeah, race direction has been a little bit like overcautious this year, I think. Yeah.
We have a bunch of rookies. I mean, say what you will about Massey, but it seemed like he knew generally what he was doing and how to run a race. Questionable calls at the end of the year, but I think the guy who's in charge this week is his second race as the head guy. Hmm. So it's just like, what do you expect? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It was, and then they did.
Thanks,
you know,
Mercedes.
Thanks, Mercedes. Yeah, we need to start like a bring Massey back, because it just feels like nobody knows what's actually going on. You know, the teams are kind of looking around confused, and the drivers are confused, and TV directors even more confused most of the time.
Well, I think it has a lot to do with this whole like by committee approach too. Where they really don't have a full time. It's like, just pick somebody and deal with the consequences. Don't do this whole, well, I get it this week and you get it next week, so I can't really get a feel for what's appropriate and what's not. So I think that has something to do with it, but it needs to change, in my opinion. It needs to be better and more consistent and figure out what's acceptable and what's not. Because, I mean, it's just getting ridiculous.
Yeah, and I think they need to take a look at this. So we were talking about that a little bit, texting back and forth. But so I guess the second that the cars go to the grid at race time, it starts a 3-hour countdown of the, you know, the race has to finish by a certain period of time. And they do that because they're not allowed to refuel during the race and that kind of thing. But I felt like they like rushed to try to like make things happen, and then they started this timer, and then ultimately what we saw was the first time that I can remember in a number of seasons, the race, instead of going to a certain lap distance, was switched over to a countdown. I think it was like at 37 minutes left, they realized they weren't going to be able to go the full race distance, so they started a countdown. And then you never know exactly how many laps are left. And from a viewing standpoint, I thought it was just a little weird. I don't know. I didn't particularly like that.
I don't know. I didn't mind it. It's just like an endurance race has a clock, same type of concept. And then once the clock runs out, you get one more lap. So
yeah.
I thought it was kind of cool because we were all like, well, it's 10 laps left or 11 laps left, or how's it going to be? And then, so that part was kind of cool. And then you saw Checo kind of back off towards the end so he can get less laps and less opportunities to overtake. So there's some cool strategy within it. So
yeah. It was something new, I guess. But
yeah.
But other than just that the kind of the chaos that created. Interesting. It was okay. Didn't make a strong argument to me that it Monaco deserves to still be on the calendar, but we can talk about that later. Here towards the end of the pod this week. Is there any kind of other high level race just weekend stuff that y'all wanted to talk about? I thought it was interesting. The yachts seem to be a little less impressive this year. I wonder if it's because all the big yachts are getting sanctioned right now. there was not an overload of. I mean, there was obviously some big ones there, but usually you're up for some wild yachts, and maybe they didn't focus on them as much this year. But I didn't see any crazy ones out there.
I don't know. The yachts seem a little bit. I don't know if they were smaller or less impressive, but also the celebrities. It was like, where is everybody? It's almost as if Miami took the sting out of it a little bit.
Well, it seems like Monaco still has some COVID policies going on.
Oh, really? Blaming COVID. Nicely done, Monaco.
Yeah. because they were talking in qualifying that they shut down the viewing from that hill.
Yeah.
So it seems like they're still a little... I don't know. It was a full crowd, but it seemed like maybe it was hard to get in or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I know they talked about how difficult it was to get to the track. I guess there's only like two ways to get into the track, into the country, and people were waiting in like hours long lines to like get onto the train and get in. So it seems like this year, maybe it's just because there was the COVID years and people are excited to get back to the track. But I've heard at a couple of different races this year that just like the logistics of Spain was another one of like people getting to the track. It was like miserable. Mm-hmm. It took hours. They didn't have enough water. They didn't have enough restrooms. The Spanish Grand Prix sold out of bottled waters like an hour before the race started, apparently. And like,
it's because it was so hot. It was like 85
degrees, brutal. That dry Barcelona heat with a nice breeze, brutal. Yeah. 85. But I think Monaco suffered from the same. So hopefully they get that shit figured out before we go to Austin. Because apparently it was pretty bad at Austin last year. But we'll see. We'll see. Anything else you guys want to talk about with the generally before we get into teams?
Nah, let's get into it.
Let's get into it. Let's get into the fun stuff. So we're bringing back the shit list for this episode. I guess it never really went away. We just...
Well, everybody seems so close that it didn't make sense to do it, but I think we have some good candidates now.
Yeah, so we're gonna start this year, or this shit list, not this year, with Haas.
So I feel about them.
Yeah. Mick Schumacher should be done, but he won't be. So that's all I have to say about that.
I just wonder if his name sells enough hats to pay for his wrecks.
No, Haas has already skipped one race because they're worried about the budget because Mick Schumacher destroyed a car.
Yep.
And now he's destroyed another car. It's insane. He's not bringing the car home. He's not scoring points. He's miles behind K-Mag. And it's just awful. He's not good. I'm sorry.
Yeah, for whatever reason, all the talk right now seems to be on Daniel Ricciardo, and we can get into that later. And that the Daniel Ricciardo is not doing enough for McLaren and contract risk, but Schumacher is consistently worse than K-Mag and is costing that team so much money in these wrecked cars. And a team that's already had the budget cap, but they're on the shit list, so we can't spend too much time on them.
One more point. Yeah. So not only is he costing them money by wrecking the car, but he's also costing them money by not scoring any points. So they're way behind on the champion on the Constructors' Cup than where they should be.
Way behind.
He's just, I mean, it's all bad from.
Yeah. And another unfortunate weekend for K-Mag because he was looking solid to make points. And then he, they had a coolant or some kind of maybe water link.
I mean, they're P15, P13 at quali. Nothing crazy. They should have been Q3. Neither of them made it out. Yep. But
I think he would have managed to make his way up the field in the chaos. He's a pretty good guy in the wet. So
it was a water pump issue, I think.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
But that was water a weird pump sequence because
he was out. Like, and no one knew.
Nobody
about it,
even noticed that he went out. It was just. The first time I realized he was out was when Mick wrecked, and then you saw the video of K-Mag in the paddock.
You're like, what the fuck?
K-Mag's thinking, all right, there goes another round of upgrades. We're not going to get this season. But, I think that's enough on Haas. Just get your shit together. Aston Martin is the next one here. The green Red Bull certainly mixed doesn't have employer. Red Bull. Yeah, mixed future employer, most likely. The green Red Bull certainly doesn't look like a Red Bull. Stroll.
I really don't have anything to say.
No.
Seb's Stroll, great. Seb brought Stroll that car into Q3, which was shocking. But that's about all. Like, everything else about them has been terrible.
Terrible.
Didn't Stroll hit the barrier on the formation lap?
Yeah. Stroll hit the barrier on the formation lap and got a puncture. Yeah, the Canadian drivers this weekend, or the Canadian pay drivers this weekend, are struggling hard.
I think Stroll had pitted twice before like the third lap of the race.
I think so.
It's great.
Yeah, not a good weekend from them. On a related topic, we put out a poll on Twitter, and it was unanimous that our massive viewership unanimously thinks that Lawrence Stroll did not watch the race and instead just enjoyed his yacht for the weekend after his son's horrible qualifying performance. So
I agree.
Glad to see that we were united.
Speaking of just such a big gap between the two drivers, you know, Stroll's out in Q1 and what, P14, P13, somewhere around there. Sorry, P17, P18, somewhere around there. And then Seb brings it all to P9. It's like, come on, dude! You're not even close. It's pathetic.
Not even close. And the other team on our shit list for this weekend is Williams. A really, really quiet weekend from them. I don't think Latifi's got much longer in in Formula One with the reduction in the budget cap and pay drivers becoming a little bit less important. I can't imagine that he's got another season of them. Looked horrible this weekend. Obviously, doesn't the new build of the car is just not clicking for him. Really bad, and honestly, Albon didn't look that great this weekend either.
Neither of them understand what the fuck a blue flag is, so there's that. But
that's true.
Yeah, and we'll talk a lot more about Ferrari lately, but I do think that that's one thing. Latifi kind of fucked.
Latifi wasn't that bad. Latifi was 7. Albon was 21. 21 blue flags, didn't get a side.
Wow. Wow.
Latifi was 100% scared to go off the...
totally scared to go off.
Honestly, like, I know Ferrari and Carlos isn't happy about it, but for the good of the rest of the grid and the time limit, it's probably good that Latifi waited until the tunnel to let Sainz through.
That's a good point.
I was okay with that one. Not okay, but I kind of understand that. The Albon one, where he had Charles behind him for 21 fucking blue flags, and his excuse was, well, I was faster than him. That doesn't really sit well with me, but there's that.
Yeah, and being faster than someone doesn't matter if you're getting a blue flag.
Well, if you're faster than someone, then you're not getting blue flags.
Thank you. That's right. How that works. So you're not getting lapped. So
exactly. Love you, Alex, but come on.
Yeah. It's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I have another comment on this, but I think we'll talk about it during Ferrari instead.
Yes, I have a lot of comments on it, but we can talk about it during Ferrari.
So then on to AlphaTauri then. Yuki Tsunoda finished last of the finishers, P17. Because we did have the three DNFs, with his teammate Pierre Gasly finishing in P. Did he finish P10 or P11? No, he finished P11.
Finished P11, yeah.
P11. Really pretty. I would think. I don't know who ended up getting driver of the day, but I would actually give it to Gasly.
Checo.
Because he was my driver of the day because he went out on wets, made the call to go to Inters first. And then was able to make, was it three pretty good on track passes? Now, I know that people he passed weren't like the cream of the crop F1 drivers, but he made a couple on track passes. He looked good. If it hadn't been just for a really disappointing quality session between them, I think he was on for the points today. And he said after the race that he was having a lot of fun out there. It's not often you get to make passes.
Did Yuki bring out the red flag that kind of jacked up Pierre's chances in qualifying?
Yes. Well, yes, it was Yuki. Because I was going to say, he kind of got screwed by that red flag in quali. So, because they put him out late and he couldn't get his last lap in and he just couldn't improve. So, kind of bad luck for him. But
oh, yeah, he missed the line, didn't he?
Yeah.
At the end. Yeah. Yeah, that sucks. I feel bad for him.
Because Yuki brought the red flag out, but nothing was really wrong with his car. So it was kind of weird they red flagged it. So
just going back to what we were saying earlier, the race director is just being overly cautious with everything.
No, that was I think that was a rogue marshal. I think
that was that what it was.
I think so. Because so if one marshal pulls out a red flag, it's kind of like a fail safe. Then it's automatically red flag. There's no going back. Mm. So I think the marshal pulled the red flag thinking that it was worse than it was. And then once one marshal pulls it, there's no choice to go back. So I don't want to get sent to the, remedial classes like Christian Horner for calling out the marshals, but
no, I actually want to call out the marshals at Monaco are in a league of their own, man.
Fucking,
there might have been a rogue marshal pulling out the red flag, but man, those guys are like the most efficient, most well coordinated. Like, it's awesome.
Those two guys getting the back half of Mick's car off the track was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Them just like rolling two tires and a fucking gearbox off the car off the track.
It goes to show how light that stuff is, that those two guys can just like wheel like a wheelbarrow off the track. Those guys are impressive, man. The way they've got cranes positioned in all the right spots, like they could just pick the car up, get it off, they send a team of sweepers out. I mean, they are by far the most efficient, well-organized group of what was your theory, Zeno, on why they were so good? Wasn't it you that had the theory about why they
Yeah, I said they're all a bunch of degenerate gamblers, and in order for them to get their gambling debt what would he call it?
Relieved.
That they're
for Dave.
Forgiven. Yeah. They become marshals, and the best marshal gets their debt forgiven. So, because they are just fucking booking it.
It's impressive.
Who was it? I think I don't remember who it was in one of the free practices. I think, but like, I think it was Mick parked like right in front of the pit entrance, and there was like six guys in like 2 seconds pushing that thing. It's like, Jesus Christ, holy crap!
Where'd you guys come from?
Like, that's when I was like, these guys don't fuck around. These guys are legit.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing.
But Yuki spun, I think, like 8 times in Yuki the last couple laps there.
Yeah, Yuki was struggling.
You just saw like a lot of, we didn't see any of them, but it was just like yellow flag, sector one. Oh, Yuki spun again. Yellow flag, sector one.
They were all going off in the first turn, whatever that's called. I forgot. But yeah, it was ridiculous.
Was he just trying to get past somebody? Like, was he like thinking, I can, I don't know what the gap, what his gap was, his interval. He was 22 and a half seconds behind Zhao and 16th. So no. Well, maybe he was at one point. Because he spun 8 times. But I don't know. Every time I saw the yellow flag, I was like, oh no, who was it? Because it just conveniently happened at like the one time.
They would never show it.
Yeah, they would never show it. And
dude, talk about such a stressful time to be a Charles Leclerc fan. You see, you know he's in the first sector and you see a yellow flag first sector. Like, oh, fuck, it happened.
Where'd he go?
And then it's just like, oh, nope, someone went off turn one. Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Yuki went deep again. So the next team down we've got is Alfa Romeo. We had just mentioned Zhao Guanyu finishing in P16 with Bottas, who I think was at Risk and I's pick for P3, seemingly somebody that was favored to do really well this weekend, finishing P9, an off weekend for him. I saw he was out in FP1. I think it was a car issue.
I thought it was FP2, one of the pre-practices.
I think he made it, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, there was a car issue, and I think that really screwed him over a little bit for setup-wise.
Somebody was, one of the F1 pundits was talking about how important, out of really any track, Monaco is for just getting as much running time as you can in practice, because it's a total confidence track. So, like, you need all three practices to basically build up the balls to do a good quality lap. Mm-hmm. And missing out on a quality session, he said, is just kind of the writing on the wall. Even the greatest drivers just need that confidence building. So disappointing weekend for him. He was able to pull it back in the points, which is good. Good for them. But Zhao Guanyu was
just over him.
Not impressive.
He's, I don't know, a waste of space.
I think so too.
Whoa! I mean,
we'll see. I mean, it's his rookie season. So before I completely give him the waste of space treatment, I'll let him get a season under his belt. But so far this year, nothing.
Who do you think is a bigger waste of space, him or Mick?
Mick.
Mick. Because Mick's in season two.
Okay, I'm just curious.
Mick's in season two, and Mick is costing his team a lot of money. Zhao's at least hasn't had any.
And Zhou had like a fantastic save.
Yeah.
He was like trying to pass somebody, I think, and the car went almost completely sideways, and he somehow kept it out of the barriers.
Oh, I thought it was done for sure.
Yeah, there was a couple of those this weekend. It kept cracking me up how many times they would miss that chicane coming out of the tunnel. Because they were just overcooking in there, and it'd be like, oh, I guess we're going straight. I think I'll feel like half the field managed
Russell,
to do that.
Russell did it so many times. He got a black and white flag for track limits.
But like early in the race.
Yeah.
I think still on the inner phase.
I was like, oh shit, dude, this is not good for him.
Yeah.
But he somehow figured it out. Well, I guess the track dried up, so that helps a lot. But
Yeah, but it still was pretty wet, like when you went off the racing line. And I think that one was with Zhao was fairly late in the race, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
When
I think it was after the restart, yeah.
Yeah, but not a whole lot left on Alpha. I think this was an opportunity for them to get some good points that they just weren't able to figure out. The only other thing I think of with Alpha is their Fred, what's his last name? Mansoor?
No idea.
Their team principal.
Yeah,
it's really raising a stink about all the I guess teams are coming out and complaining about not being able to hit the budget cap and trying to get the budget cap raised. And they're like, look, man, look, guys, we were the only one that made weight at the beginning of the season. Y'all complained and raised the weight limit. That cost us. We're fine on the budget. And now all of you are complaining about the budget so you can spend more money on development. It's like, yes, we're doing everything right here. And y'all are the ones messing up. And yet we're suffering because of this. So
it'll completely be, fair argument.
Completely fair argument.
He's not going to win, but it's a completely fair argument.
All right. Give him 5 free constructors points to compensate. And just shut him up.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what
doesn't matter. Of
that. But yeah, so the next one on the list here was Alpine. We had Ocon finishing after a 5-second time penalty in P12. Fernando, P7. I would say a pretty quiet race from him, but it was kind of funny watching.
Fernando was the you called that
it was quiet in the sense. The field. Yeah, it was quiet in the sense that he started 7th and finished 7th.
Yeah.
But it was great. The fact that he let Russell and Norris have free pit stops at the end because he had backed everybody else up so far.
I just love how Lewis goes on the radio. He's like, he's going really slow. And like, yeah, he was told just to kind of take it easy. And you look at his lap times. It's like, he's losing 3 seconds a lap. Holy shit. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm just cruising. No big deal.
And then they came out after and said, oh yeah, we were worried about the tires, so we took it easy for 15 laps. It's like, yeah, sure.
The best part is that he was backing everybody up and they gave Ocon the penalty and he didn't speed up till like 6 or 7 laps after that. But then his first lap, when he sped up, he set the fastest lap. So I don't know. I loved it. I loved every second of it. I love Alonso.
Yeah, it was hilarious to watch where he would be able to put his car. Like it was barely... Like, Lewis was behind him, and Lewis was attacking, but just the way that Fernando placed his car, like, he didn't really have to defend.
No.
Like, he was just putting his car in, like, the one spot where there was nothing Lewis could do about it.
They asked him if it was hard to keep Lewis behind, and he said, and I quote, no, it was easy. It's Monaco. It's Monaco.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that had to have been a super frustrating for Lewis right behind him.
For everybody, but
I mean, it presented opportunities, I think, that not very many people are able to take advantage of because it packed everybody together. It presented opportunities for some of the people like, you know, Seb and Pierre and those guys that were a couple spots back on that train. But God, Lewis, I mean, he was battling Ocon in the beginning. And couldn't find a way past. And then Fernando just drove it in like grandma mode around the track for 30 laps. And there's nothing Lewis could do to get past.
Yeah, it kind of exposes Monaco for what it is. I think that's a tough look.
Yeah.
Still funny to see, especially when you see like the graphic of where all the cars are on track. You literally couldn't be farther apart.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what was it in 2018 or 2019 when Danny Ric won here? It must have been
2018.
When he won there and like his car wouldn't go above like third or fourth gear or something like that. Literally his gearbox was messed up and he was able to just keep everybody behind him despite the fact that he was missing gears. It just exposes Monaco for what it is, I think, which is a little processional, but we won't rag too hard on Monaco right now. The next team that's up in here is McLaren. Kind of a day of polar opposite or a weekend of polar opposites. Lando, good performance from him. Still not fully feeling better. From tonsillitis, managed to put it in the P6.
But single-handedly ruining Daniel Ricciardo's career.
Single-handedly. And Daniel Ricciardo finished down in P13.
I think that's so overhyped, man. I don't understand it. This year, they've been pretty much neck and neck, other than 2 races. And yet, everyone's acting like Daniel Ricciardo doesn't have it anymore. So I don't get that, but...
Yeah, I mean, look. I don't know which cars have all the upgrades, but Monaco is a track that Daniel has always he's always claimed as his home track, you know, not his home track, but one of his, obviously Australia's his home track, but one of his favorite tracks to drive. You know, he loves driving here. It's kind of one of those things where it's like king of the late breakers, and that's what he considers himself. This is a track made well for them, and he didn't have it.
Well, okay, so we just talked about Botas not getting a practice in and how it just takes the balls to, and you need all three.
Sure.
Well, the team fucked him. They even came out and said it was their fault for his crash. They tried something that obviously did not work.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
And so he didn't have a free practice. Yeah. And he didn't get enough qualifying time or practice. I'm not trying to make excuses for him, but I think this is maybe the only track where there has been a gap. If you look at the results, dude, they're literally.
Well, they had a big gap. No. They had a big gap in Spain, but I mean, I guess you could argue Lando was pretty sick during that race, though he should.
Norris.
But he also, Norris had all the upgrades in Spain.
Yeah, exactly. There's been every other time either Daniel has, like, what was it the other race where
Norris has him by 37 points.
Because of the couple races one of them he got hit. He hit Botas. I think it was Botas, and his diffuser was fucked. And so he came in like P17 when he was the sprint race. It was that weekend. I don't remember now, but he during the sprint race, he was placed behind Lando. And then during quali, he was a place behind Lando and they got hit lap one and got fucked. And Lando finished in P5, P6, somewhere around there. And he finished way down low. So, and there was the next race, he had mechanical issues again.
Yeah.
So it hasn't been that big of a difference, honestly.
Yeah. The problem is he's just not in the points. Like if Lando was finishing in, you know, P4, P5, and Daniel was finishing in P7, 8, 9, like that's one thing. But he's finishing outside of the points. And don't get me wrong, I'm a huge Danny fanboy. But man, something's got to give. We've got to figure out how to get him confident in the car. And I think McLaren's got a tough job to do that. And I think the media is overhyping it a little bit. But you know, Zach Brown did come out and kind of for the first time publicly say that there are out clauses in his 3-year contract.
And I hope they fucking drop him because I think he can go somewhere else and do so much better. So
do you think he would get picked back up in Formula 1?
Absolutely. I think any team would take him.
I don't know.
I don't know why they wouldn't. I mean, like I said, proven he can. Yeah, the McLaren, maybe he hasn't had the best results. I'm not saying that he's done great, but he was great in Red Bull. He was great at Renault.
He wasn't great at Renault.
Oh, and it took him a full year to get their
first podium in how long?
Yeah.
That team was.
The problem was he was really slow, really slow to adapt to the car. It took him a full season. And
it's just becoming a trend now, right? And
I don't know, man. I think.
Look, I mean, I'm all on board. I think Ricardo deserves to be in Formula One over probably 60% of the grid.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
But when that 60% is locked in contracts and paying for their seat or their daddy's on the team.
Okay. Where does Ricardo go? Here are the two results. First race, Lando P15, Ricardo P14. Second race, Lando P7, Danny Ric had mechanical failure, was retired. Third race, P5, P6. Then it was P5, P6. Then it was Lando P3, Ricardo P18. That's the incident I was talking about where he had a crappy diffuser. The next race, Lando retired. Danny Ric, P13. And then Spain, P8, P12. It hasn't really been that big of a difference. Like, I don't understand why people are saying, like, it's been so crazy. Last year, you can make
I think it was terrible. I think people are saying it because of the point difference. And that's the...
But I mean, look at
it. Yeah, I know.
When you talk P3, the P3 is the whole thing right there.
Right. Yeah, but that's what people are saying about it.
I don't have the data in front of me, but just I feel like Lando has put the car way higher in qualifying and moved back to where McLaren's actual pace is during the race, where Danny is more qualified and stayed put. Right?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I remember things going so far. And I'd have to look it up.
I don't know. I don't pay that close attention to quality for them, so I'm not sure. But you guys care about points. That's what you're talking about with Carlos and Leclerc. I mean, so last year at least. And
yep. Points matter.
To me, they've been pretty damn close this year. So other than a couple outliers, which Monaco being an outlier, and I mean, 8 and 12 isn't that big of a difference, a little bit, but a little, like, I don't know, man. I think he's getting a lot of crap for not nearly as bad.
I don't know. I don't know if he should be getting as much crap about it as he is. I'll give you that. But I think the issue is the expectations on Danny are so high.
It's because McLaren thinks they're a top three team and they're not. They think they're in the Red Bull, the Ferrari, the Mercedes echelon, and they're not there. Sure. Like, they're not even
close. They're not there right now.
And that's the problem, is they think they have this world championship driver with Lando, and they think that they're, you know, they're just one step away, and they're not even close. Like, I'm sorry, but they're not. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
In my opinion, so.
Yeah, we'll see where they end up over the course of the season. I mean, we're what, eight races in? Seven races in right now?
Something like that, yeah.
So we'll see. I would be shocked if he goes anywhere at the end of this season. I don't buy it.
I don't know. Who are you gonna replace him with?
Gasly.
Gasly's still under contract for a year, I thought.
Nope. I think this is a contract year for him.
I thought he's got one more now. Is this his contract year?
I think that's why Helmut was saying we've got to find a seat for him or we lose him.
I thought he was saying we have to find a seat for him in Red Bull this year or else we'll lose him next year. But maybe I'm mistaken on that. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I could see Gasly. I could see Alpine is going to have to put Oscar Piastri somewhere. And I could see them.
Gasly's contract runs to the end of the 2023 season. So he's got one more year left.
He's got one more year. Okay. Yeah, you know, I could see Piastri wanting to get put somewhere. But
yeah, but why would they put him at McLaren? That makes sense.
Well, they don't have any customer teams, so they're going to have to put them at a car that...
Yeah, but they're not going to want to put them on someone who's competing with them, you know? You're going to want to put them on a lower team, like a Williams or an AlphaTauri or somebody like that.
To me, I don't know. It depends. If you want to see... Like, the Alpines and the McLarens are racing each other, right? So if you want to see what somebody like an Oscar Piastri could do against your drivers, it would make sense to put them in
a why would McLaren take him if that's your competitor? Why would you have someone come into your team and understand all the workings? So that to me doesn't
make sense. It's a good point. Because they would pay, right? If it seems like right now McLaren is in a money spending spree across the world. So if at some point when their piggy banks run out, a driver that's already running out. Yeah.
They had to sell their freaking headquarters and they keep spending money. I'm like, where's this money coming from?
From the headquarters sale.
So, I don't know. I could see them bringing somebody because they've had their reserve drivers. Who's it? I can't remember now. They're IndyCar drivers. I could see them putting them up there before Oscar. But
yeah, but I don't think they're qualified. I don't think they have the Super Point license necessary. It would be Pato before if it's Pato Award and Felix Rosenquist. And I guess you're not going to bring Juan Pablo Montoya back to Formula One.
No,
at his age. But I mean, it would be Pato who just re-upped on their IndyCar team for 3 seasons, but I don't believe he's got the Super Points licenses, and they don't seem to be set on helping him get that because they gave Colton Herta, or they're doing a private test with Colton Herta instead of Pato Award, which is a little bit.
They did an off-season test with him, though.
I could also see Colton Herta with him in that car. I just think that their options are limited, put it that way, to who they want. So why wouldn't you just keep Danny Ricciardo? But
yeah, at least for a year. We'll see what rumors start spinning
as we get unless Lewis retires, because then that changes everything. Because I think, I honestly think that Mercedes would love Danny Ric. That's been a rumor for a while. So
yeah, I could see it. I could see it. Speaking of Mercedes, we'll jump into them here. George Russell, another top five finish. We're gonna go from what was his nickname last year?
Mr. Saturday.
Now he's just Mr. Consistent. P5 or higher, still the only one all of season, consistently putting it to Lewis. Now all the Lewis fanboys and bot accounts on Twitter are gonna attack us for this, but at what point do we say that every week there's some big excuse for Lewis that everybody gives? Oh, he didn't have the same parts, or oh, he was doing this, or oh, that was that. But George has shown that this car is unquestionably the third fastest on the grid.
Mm-hmm.
Unquestionably, right? P5 every race. P5 or higher every race. It is the fifth fastest car on the grid. And Lewis doesn't seem to be anywhere near. I mean, in Spain, yeah, I guess. But that's also a track that Mercedes knows well, suits the car.
He got a lot of free air there, too.
He got a lot of free air. Yeah, sure, a good comeback. But I mean, at what point are we just going to say that George is a better driver than Lewis right now?
I think George is more invested right now than Lewis. I think Lewis just doesn't care about this season. And so he's mailing it in, essentially. So,
but really?
Yeah. I mean, Lewis Hamilton wants to win a championship. He has no desire to, or even just win races. Like, I don't think he cares other than doing stuff like that. And so he's just not nearly as motivated as George. George is young. He's trying to prove himself, trying to prove that he deserves this contract. And, you know, when
unquestionably when
if and when this team becomes the Mercedes of old, he wants to be the number one guy. So I think that's what he's got his eyes on. And I think Lewis just like, well, once the car's better, I'll start driving. But
man, I don't know. I don't buy that from Lewis because he doesn't want to look bad.
But he doesn't. Image is obviously it's not him, very it's important. The car, don't you get it?
Yeah, but he's getting smoked by his teammate.
But it's the car.
But they have the same car.
No, they're different.
No.
And he Lewis gets he's so unlucky too, dude. Like, come on.
It's not Lewis has all the setup risks, and mm-hmm. they're trying stuff out on Lewis's car, and he's driving around with sensors on his car, which adds 2 kilograms. So his car is actually slower and heavier mm-hmm. than George Russell's, which is, you know, makes up for the 30 some odd points that he's behind Russell right now.
Right.
I don't know. What's your take, Risk? Why do you think there's such a big difference?
I don't know. I think Lewis is mentally broken from Max Verstappen beating him last year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. People just don't go like delete all of their Instagram followers and then come back 2 months later, 3 months later. And be like, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah. You know,
I think he's really mentally, I think he's beat up over that. Right or wrong, whatever. I don't know. I just don't feel like I probably agree with you. I don't think his heart's in it.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it is. I mean, like, I don't know.
But do you think, and I guess where I disagreed with your opinion is, do you think that his heart would be in it if they had a championship contending car?
Yes.
See, I think
I think Russell would still be beating him if they had a championship winning car. But I think it's worse than it probably should be because it's not. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced that Russell is a better driver than Lewis, but I think it'd be close if they're both in a good car and both giving their all. I just don't think Lewis cares. I mean, I think he'll probably stick around. I think it's a 50-50 shot if he sticks around next year. But
Yeah.
I could see it next year if the car is the same way, him retiring half of the season, be like, I'm fucking done. Like, I'm over it. And he'll do some excuse like, I'm getting old and I want to bring a young driver in for some experience this year. So next year they can win. I don't know what it's going to say, but
he'll do something. You think there's a chance he loses Mercedes?
Oh, yeah.
An F1?
Yeah, I think so.
Without a gap year?
It depends. So he's under contract for another year, which I think he's disappointed about right now. So, because I think the only teams he'll go to are Red Bull or Ferrari.
No way would he go to Red Bull. Red Bull wouldn't take him, and I don't think he would do it.
I think if Max wasn't there, I think he'd go there in a heartbeat. But
no, I don't think so.
I think
you think Lewis wants to deal with Helmut Marko? Not a chance.
You think Lewis cares? He wants a winning car.
I don't know. I don't think so.
So the only other would be Ferrari.
Yeah,
he's going to go to Ferrari.
And
I think Ferrari would fire Sainz in a heartbeat. If Lewis called him and said, hey, I want to finish my career with Ferrari, I think they would throw Sainz into the fucking Monaco Bay.
I tend to agree with that statement. Lewis also came out and said something like he's a Ferrari fan. He's rooting for Charles this year. So he's like laying that groundwork right now.
Yeah.
So
yeah. He also just hates Max Verstappen, I think. But
I don't think he hates Max. I think he hates Red Bull.
I think he hates Red Bull. I think he hates Helmut Marko. I think he is really not a fan of Christian Horner. Because
I still think if they had a winning car without Max and they said, hey, you want a contract? He'd be like, fuck yeah, I'm in. Let's do this shit. But yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I mean, remember,
it's fun to speculate, but it's not going to
happen. Beginning of the season last year, Max and Lewis were fine. Like they.
Yeah, I actually still think Max and Lewis are largely fine. It's Lewis's problem is with the other folks. I mean, because you don't see, like, Max isn't really. I mean, yeah, he's said a couple things here and there over the years, but like the bulk of the things that Lewis gets up in arms about don't come from Max's mouth. They're coming from other people at the team, and particularly Helmut Marko, and occasionally Christian Horner. I think was it last year? Helmut Marko accused Lewis of like attempted murder during the collision at Silverstone.
And who was it? That was like, no, they're like, no, that's Max Verstappen's dad that was accused of attempted murder, not Lewis.
Yeah, really. But I don't know. We'll see what happens with Lewis, and there's a lot of speculation to come from us this year, so we won't blow it all in one load. But yeah, on to I think what everybody probably wants to hear about, which is the Red Bull and Ferrari battle. So I'll set the stage, and then Zeno is probably going to go on a rant here. But
I try to control myself.
Ferrari was looking good going into the race. Leclerc dominated qualifying, Sainz P2, front row lockout. And I don't know, 99% of the time in the current generation cars in Monaco, that sort of engine failure or some kind of massive issue that pretty much guarantees a P1 for your team. And that's
when it's dry.
Yeah. And then that's when kind of all hell broke loose. So Red Bull, Perez, we should note Perez had a great qualifying, ended it in a red flag. But out qualified Max, was looking great all weekend. Mm-hmm. So it was Ferrari 1-2, Red Bull 3-4, primed to be a fun opening turn one. Turn one got taken away from us with a wet safety car start, but
which worked into Ferrari's advantage.
It
probably
kind of
right? It should have. Yeah, these are always like the races that when you give changing conditions like this, I think are always the from a strategy standpoint risk. I know you've talked about it before. That's always like interesting to see when teams decide to take a chance and go on from wets to inners or inners to slicks or wets to slicks or what we saw last year, which is just run the inners until they are so low they turn into slicks and avoid the pit stop. But Leclerc led for the first 17 laps of the race. And then a great strategy call by Red Bull to bring Perez in for inners. They saw what Gasly was doing when he came in, put him out on inners and did. It was like 4 seconds faster on his out lap than Leclerc on used wets. And then his second lap was 7 seconds faster than Leclerc on inners over slicks. And then Ferrari waited 2 laps to cover the undercut, brought Leclerc in. By that point, there was nothing they were going to do. Perez had moved ahead of Leclerc. They split the strategy, brought Sainz in. No, left Sainz out because he was going to go right from wets to slicks. And I think they were going to go onto the hards to try to finish the race on those. But then 4 laps later, they decided that it was time for slicks, and they brought him in for a double stack. Did you know? So they brought both of the Ferraris in, right? Sainz came in first. And then they brought Leclerc in, which immediately put Leclerc behind Sainz. So they Ferrari pitted Leclerc out of the lead in their 1-2 battle, but then did so with a double stack late, which then put him behind Perez for first.
Yeah.
I don't get it. So do you know, because there was that radio message where Leclerc kind of lost his mind. Totally warranted. About getting called in for a double stack. Did they intend to call him in that lap, or did they want him? So why did they tell him to stay out?
Because Carlos is on the extreme wets.
Yep.
Claire's on the inners.
Yep.
There's about a 6 second gap when they told them both to come in.
Okay.
Well, Carlos being on the wets and being so much slower, well, at the time that they came to the pit entrance, they were a 2 second gap. And so if it was the original 6 second gap, like they originally said, it would have been fine. Would have double stacked. Yeah, Carlos would have been in front, but I think they probably would have given team orders to switch, is my guess.
Yeah.
And probably would have been, well, if it wasn't for the whole Latifi bullshit, probably would have been at least P1 or close to P1, hopefully.
Sure.
But yeah, the difference in the tire fucked them, because Charles was so faster that he just closed the gap way too quickly. And I mean, so that whole, I think what really happened is like Charles came out, got stuck behind Albon for 21 fucking blue flags, wouldn't get past him on the inners. So his lap time looked a lot slower than it actually was. And once he finally got past Albon is when, I think maybe a lap or two after that, they finally told him to come in. So I don't know if they really, he had really got the tires on and working in the window yet. So
no,
it's just,
well, so really, so then really there were two mistakes by Ferrari's part, right? There was one of failing to cover Perez in a timely manner, right? Because they let Perez go two laps. So they made a late call to cover Perez for the undercut.
So
if they would have brought him in, if they would have brought him in that next lap, like you would normally do to cover an undercut, like he might not have lost that position. So
I didn't mind them staying out with Charles though, because the thing was that Norris was in front of him, right? And Norris was still on the wets. So Norris is going to hold him up because it's fucking Monaco. And I think he was behind him for a lap, at least one lap, maybe two, I don't remember. But once Norris pitted, that's when Ferrari should have pitted. But I think they had just missed the pit window or missed the pit. Mm-hmm. So they had to do a whole other lap and it fucked them.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they pitted the next lap or the lap after. But as soon as Norris pitted, they should have immediately went in and they didn't. So that's where they really fucked themselves over. And then
Norris pitted on the same lap as Perez. And that's why Perez had clean air. He didn't come out behind Norris. He came out in free air.
He came out behind Norris. 100%. Because I, you can look through our text messages. I'm saying he should have pitted once Norris pitted. He came out behind Norris. Norris is still in the wets, at least for a lap. And then...
Red Bull pitted at the same lap as Norris.
Yeah.
Checo pitted first.
Yeah.
Got behind Norris. Checo's on the inners. Norris on the wets.
Yeah, but then Norris pitted at the end of that lap.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's when Leclerc should have. I thought it was okay to keep Charles out there at that point because you don't know when Norris is going to come in. Because, like I said, it's Monaco; you can't overtake, so he would have been held up. And you try to build as big a gap as you can because you're in free air.
Yeah, but I think if you're not going to cover right away, cover that undercut, you've got to just stay out and not later do a switch because. They were showing that lap was, 8 seconds.
Yeah, but he would have been stuck behind Norris. Faster. If Norris decided his strategy was to stay on the wets until the slicks, it'd been fine. So you wouldn't have to pit.
Sure.
So you can't guess everybody else's strategy. So I had no problem with them keeping him out and not covering it immediately because you had a little bit of buffer there. But then once he comes in, now Checo's got all that free air. All right. Fucking bring Charles in immediately. And they waited a lap or two, which was stupid, and they finally brought him in.
Yeah, well, I guess the other part of the problem was, he had really 3.5 laps on the inners, which isn't enough time to bring him up to temp and then make that time up from the time that it was on. He didn't have enough time to make up the pit stop time, which is why he went from not like potentially being in second place behind Perez, but went all the way back to fourth because, Perez had six and a half laps or something like that on the enters, which are 5 seconds a lot or 8 seconds a lot faster, which allowed him to make up, the pit stop time and then some. Whereas Ferrari and Leclerc had too short amount of time in the inners, so they weren't, they basically cost themselves, like, they basically did a half an extra pit stop, which is ultimately what made him move down into fourth. And then, you know, I guess the second mistake was not recognizing the gap between Sainz and Leclerc that had that kind of delayed double stack, which then shuffled him back another position. Because it really should have been, if they had timed that double stack properly, it would have been probably Perez in P1 still.
Yeah.
But then Leclerc would have came out in P3.
Yeah.
And then they would have swapped. They would have probably would have swapped Sainz and let him go chase down Perez.
Yep.
But the real problem is that the inters were still faster than the hards at that point. Yeah. And that's why Red Bull was able to get Verstappen ahead.
Well, okay. Verstappen, what? Oh, yeah.
Because when they brought Charles in, he went onto the slicks and Verstappen did another lap on the inters and pulled that gap ahead of Charles. So it was just a mess.
It was. I mean, like, I'm going to complain about Albon again, but yeah, if Albon doesn't wait 21 fucking blue flags or 22, whatever it was, to get over, I don't think we're talking about this in this sense, because Charles would have caught up a lot faster. And so you wouldn't have been able to double stack at that point. That option would have been on the table. So,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah, they still pitted him out of the lead. He would have came out in second place probably behind Perez. I don't think he would have been able to maintain first place.
I don't know. It would have been a whole different race. So who knows? And I think another reason why they kept Charles out is because even with everybody on the inners, Charles was still setting the fastest lap times in the wets. So it was okay. It wasn't until Checo.
Oh yeah, yeah. Checo's first lap was
started putting laps in. It was like, oh shit. I think at that point they didn't realize it was that big of a difference with the Red Bull, or maybe the track conditions had finally gotten that better to where the inner was.
Yeah, well, so the only other person that was out on inners at that point that would have had a chance, there was one, and you're right, there was two. There was Stroll, but then it was Gasly Gasly was the first to make like a. Stroll came out on inners because he had damage and a puncture when he went to the wall in that recon lap and had to change it, but. Gasly made a race pit stop, or you know, an under green flag pit stop to go on the inners, and he was making passes, but he wasn't setting fastest laps because he was having to compromise his lap time to be able to get those passes and set those passes up.
And that's what I was saying about Norris.
So they didn't realize, but I think Red Bull saw that and was like, wait a sec, these are so much faster, which is why they brought Perez in.
I'm trying to remember. Because when... Yeah, I can't remember. I'm thinking about when they put the hard on, but
I do want to give. I know we talked last week about Red Bull and they're not favoring or not giving Perez the kind of the preferred strategy because he wasn't in, even though he was in first place. They gave Max, who had made a bunch of mistakes last week, the preferred strategy. They could have easily done that again this week and brought Max in first on inners, but they chose not to and. Gave Perez the preferred, or they gave Perez the option, I believe, of, hey, do you want to do this or not? He chose to. And that's ultimately what let him get the win.
The Red Bull, they double stacked for the slicks, right?
For the slicks, yep. They double stacked. Not the
thinners.
Yeah.
I think that Ferrari should have just committed to both drivers going on slicks.
Well, they did. Oh, the slicks. Oh.
Once they realized how fast.
And Carlos said no. So that's a whole different issue. I'm not going to get on that because I don't want to speak bad of people. But I think once he said no, I love Ferrari, but I think it's just like they fucked up. They're like, oh shit, what do we do now?
Yeah, you know? And I don't think it was planned to leave Charles out for two laps. I think it took them two laps to figure out what to do next.
Yeah, I don't think they were ready.
Because,
they weren't ready.
Well, because Carlos was supposed to come in and he said no. And they're like,
yeah, but they also.
But why would that affect?
But earlier in the race, they had asked Charles, hey, do you want to go straight to slicks?
And he said yes.
And he said maybe, yeah, or yes. And then Carlos
said, you're coming in. He said, okay. And they did the same thing with Carlos and he said no. And he said, you're coming in. He said no and stayed out. And I think they just. Kind of got dumbfounded and they're like, oh shit, okay,
why would that affect do? But why does that affect,
because now Carlos is in front life. Because now you have the guy, you basically fuck Charles, so they're trying to figure out, well, how do we fix this?
But Charles didn't have to come in.
He was told to come in.
They could have. They could have left. They could have left him out.
Yeah. They told him to come in after. After Carlos said yes. No.
I'm admitting they got a little flustered here. You guys aren't.
Yeah.
So.
No, I agree that they got flustered, but it was unnecessary. Unnecessary that they got flustered. Yeah.
Everyone was switching to the hard tire, and I think they just. I don't know. I think what they saw was that the, what do you want to call it, overcut or whatever it is, going from the wet to the inner was such a big drastic change, and the track was dry enough to say, all right, we're going to get on the hard tire faster.
Yeah.
Or we're going to switch over, and we can basically do what Red Bull did to us. And I just got completely fucked. So if they would have left Charles out instead of calling him in, I think it would have worked. Maybe not worked, but it would have been better.
Yeah, no, I think you would have had Charles in P2 instead of
probably
P4.
Yeah,
because it would what they did was they by bringing him in late for inners, they essentially swapped him and Carlos.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
And then the fact that they did it late cost them enough time that instead of if they had done it in the right order, if they had immediately covered Perez, he still would have, no matter what, he was going to lose a position because Perez was faster. Yeah. But he would have been in P2 and Carlos would have been in P3.
Yeah. Even the way they did it, like, I don't know how long Charles sat there, but Charles came out like half a second behind Max. So it was still close.
Yeah. Right.
Ish.
It was a fast pit stop from Ferrari though.
Sucks.
It was like a 2.7 second pit stop, which is pretty good. Max's was actually pretty slow when he went on the hards for them. I think it was like a 2.9. But this is what we've been talking about all season, right? Like, when is Ferrari gonna start to make mistakes in strategy? And they certainly did this weekend.
I don't think it was a huge. I mean, I get it; they fucked up, but it wasn't like a huge mistake. You can kind of see the reasoning of what happened there in my eyes, but
they just picked the wrong thing twice. I think when there was an option on the table of what do we do, two times in a row they made the wrong decision.
But okay, you say that, but what was the right decision then?
The right decision would have been on the first one, if you didn't cover the undercut the next lap, keep him out.
Yes. They should have immediately brought Charles in.
Like I said, the next lap, though, Norris was in front of him, so it wasn't a big deal. It was fine.
Yeah, but the issue isn't who's in front. The issue is Monaco is the slowest pit stop of the season. So by coming into the pits, you lose 31 seconds or something.
But
like that.
But the good thing about Monaco is you can't overtake. So even with Checo on the better tire, he's not going to overtake Norris. So if Norris's strategy is to go from the wets to the slicks, you're fine. You can pit whenever. That gap's not going to change.
Well, you can't overtake, right? I mean, Gasly did three of them.
Tell that to Lewis Hamilton, Alonso.
Yeah, but they were on the same tires, right?
Yes.
So Gasly made three overtakes when he was on inners over slicks. So Perez easily could have passed Norris.
It was still sketchy. In like three laps, maybe. It wasn't going to be immediately. I'm saying you have some time.
Yeah, but ultimately, if you're going to cover somebody, you got to do it the next lap, especially if the track's drying, because then you're going to, now all you're doing is you're giving yourself less of an opportunity to make up that time from a pit stop before you know you're going to have to go on to slicks, because people are already thinking about it at that point. You're telling me the Ferrari pit wall couldn't say, oh yeah, we're probably like 4 to 6 laps away from going on to dries, because everybody else was saying that. So they knew inners was going to be like a 6 lap, 8 lap time span. So if you're going to cut that time down, just wait.
I think they were hoping that Norris was going on the same strategy as going from wet to slick, so he was going to wait. Yeah. And Charles is still setting fastest laps. So Checo's behind Norris, he's stuck. Charles is setting fastest laps. As long as it stays the way it is, it's okay. But Norris pitted and they didn't pit the next lap, and that was their mistake. That was their first mistake. And if that's the case, just leave him out there. And you go with the same strategy that Carlos did, which is just go from wet to slicks.
Yep.
And risk it. But they got scared. They brought him in. They only brought one driver in, which fucked Charles. And then it just all imploded.
Yeah. Yep. That was an implosion for sure. So we'll see how they bounce back from this. But I get it. I hope there is Monaco on the calendar in the future, because I do want to see Leclerc win there one day.
he
deserved it this weekend. He did.
I think Albon fucked him. The team fucked him. Like, yeah, he drove perfectly, and he got fucked by two things out of his hands. So,
yeah.
The Albon not getting over and saying he was faster thing just fucking pisses me off, but. At least Latifi, it was only like 7-ish. And I get that. Latifi's going to spin if he's on the fucking wet track. So kind of understand that one. But Albon at least knows what he's doing. Like, get the fuck over.
And they came out so close, and Albon sped up to get ahead of.
That was Latifi. That was Latifi and Carlos.
Oh, was it?
And the Carlos, yeah. So that's why. So Carlos, after the race, was complaining.
Yeah, yeah. Carlos got all pissy about it. Yeah, but Carlos came out of they came out right next to each other. And then Carlos, with his new tires, kind of slid a little bit, and Latifi just said "fuck it" and went. Which, I get why Carlos is mad, but like, dude, come on, like, stop being a little bitch.
But I do see where it's coming from, because that interaction cost him like roughly half a second, which is roughly how far he came. That was the gap that then Perez had over him when he came back out of the pit. So,
good, go Latifi, pulled it off again.
yeah Latifi might be secretly getting paid by Red Bull. I don't know, it's possible.
I mean, since the end of last year he has been.
Yeah,
yep. This is known lifetime. I'm Red Bull
lifetime Red Bull supply.
I don't know, I texted you guys, but that fucking Carlos interview at the very end really pissed me off. Like, I deserve this win, blah blah blah, I'm so amazing is all I heard, and I'm just like, dude, fuck you, you've never even won a race. Like, shut the fuck up, you don't deserve shit. You were on the back foot the whole weekend. You got destroyed by your teammate in every fucking free practice and qualifying, but you deserve the win. Like, go fuck yourself.
I don't know why you got to get all like that about it. He had an opportunity. I'm Italian.
I get emotional.
Yeah, I know. But he would still could have been a Ferrari victory for him.
You know, when he deserves a victory, I'll sit here and be like, good job. But he didn't deserve that one at all.
I mean, he did. He did.
What did he do to deserve it?
He put his car in the right place. He made the right strategy call.
Yeah, deserve it in the sense of after all of Ferrari's questionable decisions, he should have been first place. But for Latifi holding him up, right? If everything happens the same, except Latifi gets out of the way earlier, Carlos probably wins that race. His point in the interview.
Do you really think that he's going to be able to turn his tires on that quickly? Like, the hard tires, and this is an honest question.
Yeah, I don't. And everybody else. Else was able to.
No, Lando came out and hit.
Well, he
George.
That's why Red Bull's overcut worked, was because the inners were still faster than the hard tires.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I get what he's saying, but I don't think you could turn those tires on that quickly.
Well, when Perez came out of the pits, he was 0.4 seconds ahead of Carlos, and the Latifi, I don't know exactly how I go. He says Latifi cost him half a second on that lap. So if he didn't lose that half a second, he would have come out a tenth ahead of Perez out of the pits, regardless of tires getting turned on or not. And his tires would have been heated up, and Perez's would have been cold.
But you can't pass a Monaco. So as long as Perez is in front.
No. I'm saying if he didn't cost that half second,
I don't
he would
buy
have been
it a half second. I mean, seven.
I don't know. He's not just making that up. I'm sure there's stats to back it.
How is he pulling the shit out of? I don't know.
You can look at sector times and whatever. I don't know.
Not when you're in the car. He popped out immediately and said that.
I'm sure they were talking about it on the radio. But hey, this is. I want to bring this up. This is another legacy of Abu Dhabi. And everybody freaks out because they started playing the radio messages on TV, and everybody was like, this is jacked up. But getting rid of the communication to the FIA from the team bosses, that Albon thing should have never happened, because Ferrari should have been able to get on the radio and said, hey,
what the
Albon is not getting out of the way. Get him out of the way so we can go.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not allowed to talk to him anymore. So I think, you know, there is a point for these people to be able to, the team bosses to be able to talk to the FIA and say,
put it on
hey,
TV.
Look at this. But then they put it on TV and everybody freaks out.
Wait, so they can't talk. I didn't realize that they weren't allowed to talk to. But they could talk to the race director.
No, because that influences their
decision. They can't talk to the race director at all?
No. There's like very specific circumstances, I think.
I think the race director can reach out to you, but it's not the other way around or some weird shit like that.
Yeah, well, that needs to change. I agree with, I guess I kind of agree with not putting it on TV. I don't know why you wouldn't just put it on TV
anyway. I mean, I didn't have any problems with it. Like, yeah. I thought it was fascinating, but it made them look kind of silly because Massey used like awkward phrasing once and everybody accused him of being anti-Hamilton, but I don't know. It was just so much better. And then we don't have that thing with Ocon at the end because they could have gotten on the radio and told Ocon to give the place back, but instead he doesn't. Right. Then he has a 5-second penalty. You know, it's just a whole thing.
Yeah, I don't really like that. I know that's one of the new rules this year is FIA won't tell somebody to give a place back.
So stupid.
It's stupid. It's like my problem with I'm not gonna get political about it, but it's my problem with taxes. It's like the government knows how much you owe in taxes, but you have to get to that math the same way. And so it's like they won't tell you how much they owe, but you know how much they know how much you owe. And if you get it wrong, they're going to send you to jail, even though they know how much you owe.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. It's like, just tell me if just tell me if I need to give the place back. Just tell me what I've got to pay in taxes.
It's so dumb. It's like, no, we want you guys to figure it out between yourselves. And then if you don't give it back, then we'll come in and we'll figure it out. Like, no, just fucking...
Right. Just tell me. Up. Yeah.
Hey, fucking get the place back. Okay. Like, yeah. No one's going to care.
Because the Ocon decision came down like 30 laps after the incident that he was penalized for.
And it was... I don't think that should have been a 5-second penalty anyway.
Well, it was against Lewis Hamilton, so...
No, man. That's... Look, I'm not an expert. I think that's abundantly clear. But to me, it looked like Lewis stuck his nose in.
He did.
And Ocon just came across. And
you didn't hear?
He turned in on me. He turned in on me. He's like, no, dude, you stuck your nose up in the middle of the corner. And Ocon made the turn. I don't know.
He said he needed to give space, but it's like, it's fucking wet. There's only one dry line. He's not going to give you space when it's wet. Sorry, dude.
No, and if you try to stick your nose up on the inside, I mean, there's Toto's got the diagrams. He tried to email him to Massey in the middle of a race last year. Like, there is a certain, your car has to have a certain percent of overlap. Your car has to have a certain percent of overlap to be entitled to space. And he didn't have it because he just did a light brake, stick it up the inside. But I don't know.
I think there's going to be an equilibrium coming eventually where we're a little in the overreaction phase from Abu Dhabi and all the shit show that was out last year, but I don't know. I mean, imagine if the NFL was just like, yeah, we're not going to call pass interference, but you know.
But if you think it's a foul, bring it back.
If you know, it's like street ball. Like, call your own fouls.
Yeah. Foul. They didn't know foul. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
It's street ball.
Punch the guy in the nose. His nose is bleeding. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
And then after the game, they're like, no, actually, that was a foul. So you guys lose. Just call it in real time. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, like, what are they doing then? If they're not... I don't get it.
There's, like, a secret notebook where they're just tallying all the penalties and then...
Well, did you see, too, about the whole... So when Max got ahead of Charles, he didn't cross the line, the pit line, but he went on the line. And that there's two different rule books, one for the F1 and one for FIA, and they say two different things?
No, the race director mistakenly copied and pasted the same phrasing from the 2021 Monaco race.
Is that what happened?
Jesus Christ. 2022, despite the fact that the rules had changed. So, yeah.
So the other thing that they messed up on was they noted the originally, because there was a... After the
series of pits,
they said it was Checo. And so they investigated Checo. They went back and watched Checo's tape. It was like, he wasn't anywhere near the white line.
Yeah.
Well, they just got the drivers mixed up. I don't know.
How do you do that? I think someone even brought it up to the FIA, like, hey, that wasn't Checo, it was Max. I know Ferrari didn't protest, so to speak, but they asked about it.
They protested both of them. They
protested both of them afterwards.
And I didn't read Checo's letter.
It got tossed out.
They both did. Well, they said, yeah, I guess protest is the right word, but if you listen to the team principal, I can always say Benato's statement, he's like, yeah, we just want to make sure they're looking at it because there was confusion on who actually did it. So we're just going to talk to the FIA about it. But
yeah,
it wasn't like a serious thing. It was like a, just make sure this is okay.
They said it was a rules clarification issue, but you never know.
Yeah. What is the rule? Like your car, your wheel can be on the line. The new one is the wheel. Your wheel can be on the line as long as it's not completely over. But last year, like you couldn't be,
touch it.
You couldn't even touch the line or something like that.
Which makes sense to me. Cause that's how it is everywhere else. Right.
Yeah.
Like the white line defines the track. You have to go completely over it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I get it's a safety thing a little bit, but I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Because usually the pit exit's not like directly on the racing line. So if someone puts half a tire over
the line. Yeah. Monaco is one of those few places, right, where it is just because it's tight. But I think generally speaking, in wet weather races, the stewards are usually a little bit forgiving. On that kind of stuff anyway, just because you've got cold tires and now the wheel temp or the wheel blanket temperatures are lower than they've ever been before. So you basically come out of the track on slicks on a wet track because that part of the track doesn't dry out because it's not on the racing line.
To be fair on both sides, at that point, the track's pretty dry. But if they would have given Max that penalty, that would have been harsh. As a Ferrari fan, I was like, he doesn't deserve a penalty. So, but it was dry, but yeah, it would have been pretty harsh.
Yeah, I think those penalties are like, I know last year there was a big, and I don't know what the kind of the guidance is from the FIA this year, but last year it was like, we look at the penalties regardless of outcome. So like, we don't judge a penalty based on the outcome of a move. We judge it based on like the move itself. So, you know, I think that's kind of backwards. Like you've got to look at, like the result of the action, right? Like,
well, because the problem with doing that though is if you let somebody get away with it, they're going to have that habit. So when it actually matters, they're going to do it, and they're like, "Well, you let me do it last time because there's no one around. It doesn't make any sense." So, and yeah, Max, I don't know. And for this exact instance, yeah, Max is probably still going to go ahead, but it was close. I mean, sure. It wasn't like Max was 5 seconds ahead.
But did he gain time by doing that? The answer would have been no.
No, but he right. could have essentially cut Charles off and made him stop and get in
trouble. Sure, but I think if that had happened, he probably would have deserved a penalty.
It was very close. I mean, it wasn't like I said, it was maybe a second max. I believe it was under a second because if you listen to if you watch the footage, Max is coming off and you can see Charles coming around the corner and with the pit and you have the sharper corner,
but I still think you could judge
on the radio saying you might Leclerc is coming and all of a sudden as soon as he's told that he goes to the left.
See, but I think you could even judge on that, right? So if he had come over at the last second and caused Carl or Charles to like go on the brakes or like brake harder because of his move, then like maybe he deserves a penalty. But if he didn't, no harm no foul kind of thing.
Yeah, but
so you have so much data, you can judge by the result, not necessarily like you're telling me if
that's going to track had been.
Yeah, but who cares? It's racing. Wrecks happen.
Yeah, but the FIA, I guess everyone now cares. Jesus fucking Christ!
Rubbing
Schumacher doesn't care.
What kind of world are we living in?
Yep. Anything else from the race before we get into?
Yeah, well, I mean, we haven't talked about Sergio Perez yet, really.
That's right.
Well, that's true. Yeah,
I guess we really haven't.
I mean,
most successful Mexican driver in history now.
Dude, I was really happy for him.
Yeah, and that was. Did you see he almost smoked a bird?
Yeah.
Did you guys see that?
Yeah. No.
The theory is that's why he locked up in that corner. Like, think of Randy Johnson hitting that bird with the fastball.
Oh.
Like, if you go back and watch his lockup. The bird just comes swooping in right before he hits the brakes.
It's like he got spooked.
Yeah. And so he locked up. But then the fact that he held off. Yes. We've said it a million times. It's Monaco. It's hard to pass. But Carlos was right up his ass.
Carlos almost hit him three times.
Yeah.
And so the fact that he held him off. I mean, not surprising. He's the Mexican Minister of Defense. I think that's a lifetime appointment, too.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, so. I don't know, man. That was awesome. He did everything he needed to do. Dude, he did two great outlaps.
Yeah.
I was going to say, he had a max all weekend.
All weekend, yeah. Yeah, you know, the one thing we talk about, the overtakes are hard, whatever, in Monaco, but, and yes, overtakes are hard, but the way that, Sainz was racing Checo, just being right behind him the whole time, yeah, he might not pass him, but he could easily force him into a mistake that causes him to wreck, go off,
yeah,
you know, have to go into a runoff area, that sort of thing. And the fact that he was able to race under that much pressure, I thought with tires that were falling off the cliff, I think a little bit faster than Ferrari's, especially towards the end. I thought that was.
I think Red Bull was hoping that they were going to be able to build a gap on the mediums. Okay. And then it wouldn't have been that close. But for whatever reason, the mediums didn't do what they thought they were going to do.
Well, they did. They just didn't last as long. Were talking shit about Ferrari being on the hards, but that was definitely the right car call.
Oh, for sure.
I was just confused about the used hards.
I think it's all they had.
Maybe. Because after that, you know, you get free tire change or whatever in the...
Well, usually you only have one set of each tire going into the race, like, new. So when they switched them over beforehand, before the red flag, I imagine that was the only set they had.
Yeah, but I thought it was... I thought it was crazy. Like the top four, I mean, I know there was that red flag restart that kind of bunched them up a little bit, but the top four crossed the finish line within two seconds.
Crazy.
Like, yeah. Under 2 second gap between one and four. Like they still haven't solved the issues of being able to like easily pass without DRS, but they've certainly solved the issues of cars being able to follow closely.
Mm-hmm.
That Perez just parked himself in the middle of the road and went as slow as possible to try to reduce the number of laps.
True.
So that helped.
That was towards the end, yeah. But before that, it wasn't that.
I think he was going.
Because he was trying to build a gap on the medium. And then once towards the end, when he realized his tires were going, I think it's when he slowed down a little bit. But even when he's trying to build a gap, it was pretty damn close.
Yeah, no, it was sweet. And then it's like, I mean, Carlos almost hit Perez, so he had to hit the brakes, and then Verstappen and Leclerc had to hit the brakes. It was a nightmare. But it made it so exciting.
Yeah, because you're just waiting for a mistake.
I mean, think about it. When Checo's got Carlos behind him, I must be scared shitless thinking that guy's going to hit me or spin out or something. So,
well, I mean, the reality of like, when they're that
drive
close,
like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the reality is like Checo... Sainz could have easily went into Checo, caused him to spin, and then Max and Carlos were so close to them that they could have collected all four of them.
I was hoping
it totally could happen. It's all
let's go, Lando.
I was hoping a little bit that Carlos took out Sergio, and then Max hit him, and then somehow Charles got out of it, and Charles could get his win because he deserved it.
Did you guys see the picture from qualifying where? It was Perez in the barrier, and then Carlos hit Perez, and then Verstappen pulled up behind him. Yeah. And then it was like, would you guys believe that this is the podium? it's like all three cars are sideways in a wreck. But I mean, it was awesome for Perez. It was good to see. And now we go to Baku, not to get ahead of ourselves, but which he likes. He won there last year. Granted, it should have been third probably, but he still did what he needed to do.
Yeah, I mean, we talked
about looking good for him.
It is. We talked about last week. He hadn't yet been doing what he needed to do to get that, like, competing for the World Drivers Championship thing. What's up?
No, I don't want to interrupt. But the big news. Did you guys saw the leak? He signed his contract.
Oh, did he really?
That's the rumor. Because they're walking up to the podium. And he looks at Christian. He's like, man, I signed too early. and they both kind of like look at each other and then look back at the. You have to watch. Somebody asked him about it in the press conference afterwards. And Max just like awkwardly laughs. And then Checo awkwardly laughs. And he's like, no, I was talking about the champagne bottle. And then it was just like a couple more seconds of awkward laughter. And then they moved on to a different topic.
All right, I'm going to go back and watch that. Was that in the post race?
I can send it to you guys. Everybody posted clips of it on Reddit. But it was he signed his new contract. So I think that
he's done everything to deserve it. Yeah. I mean, they finally have a driver that
can compete and to take it to Max a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that last week. They like each other too, which I think
that's big.
We'll see how much that continues. If Sergio is able to like really compete for the driver's championship. And we talked about last week, he hadn't yet done what was needed to like be worthy of like, not be worthy, but he hadn't yet earned like a shot at being a, like not getting the number two driver treatment. But this weekend he absolutely did. I mean,
he has to make it impossible for Red Bull to have that option.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
well, look, I mean, he's 15 points now behind Max in the driver's championship. Oh, he's only 6 points behind Leclerc. I mean, if he's able to close that gap and overtake Leclerc, you've got to let Max and Sergio race. They've got to. Yeah. I mean,
it's not going to happen, but yeah.
We'll see. I mean,
a couple more Red Bull 1-2s and it's, I mean, you know.
It's 6 points. I mean, that's the difference between
first and second.
First, that's bigger than first and second because that's a 10-point gap. I mean, that's like second and third. Isn't second and third?
No, first 25.
That would be like second, 25 and 18. Like second and fourth or second and fifth or something like that.
No, first. What are you talking about?
First is 25, second is 18.
Yeah, so it's 7 points.
So it's the difference between second and fourth is 6 points, right? Because isn't fourth 12 points and second is 18?
Yes.
So if he were to come in second and Leclerc has something happens and he comes in fourth, I mean, he's right there.
You don't think it's more likely that Perez wins and Leclerc comes in second and then they're...
Oh, it's possible. Yeah, no, it's impossible. There's just a number of ways it could happen.
I mean, Perez could get... Yeah, anyway. Third with a Perez fastest lap, and he's only behind one. We could play this math game all day.
Yeah, exactly.
That's I what do I like math.
I'm not good at it, so. but yeah, I mean, I think we'll see how much longer Max and Checo get along if he's actually able to compete with him for driver's championship. But I do think that's Red Bull's best case scenario. I don't know if Sergio can do it over the course of the season. I'd love to see it.
I don't think Max will be as antagonistic as he was against Lewis. I think last year Max had to punch the bully in the face, you know? Yeah. Like, hey, buddy, I'm here now. It's time to move over. But in the way he was talking after last year, he's like, I won my world championship. I've accomplished everything I want to accomplish. I don't think that he's really going to let that fight ruin his, especially if, you know, if everything's going smoothly and it's not like his car is destroyed. I don't think that would really affect the relationship.
Right. Yeah, I hope not. I think they're fun. I think they're a fun pair to watch. So I guess we'll see. Baku is a good track for Perez.
And Max is like officially looking like a dad now. So
it's, oh yeah. He's got that stepdad vibe. Definitely.
Change of perspective. I hear. I don't know.
Yeah, really. Really. I don't have anything else really about the race.
Trying to think. Let me go through all the
we got a 10-minute hard stop, guys.
Oh shit. Let me go through
So let's jump into just recapping where we stand based on our predictions and the points. I don't remember what I put in there. So, Chris, why don't you run through this and remind everybody?
Okie dokie. So let's see. So actual results: Sergio Perez,
P1. Carlos Sainz, P2. Max Verstappen, P3.
Yes, that's what I had. DNF's 3, Alpine was the top of the mid grid. So, Cole, you had Verstappen, Perez, Bottas. I had Verstappen, Sainz, Bottas. Zeno had Leclerc, Perez, Alonso. Which means, and also, Cole, you got the number of DNFs right. And Zeno got Alpine right. So that's 7 points for Cole, 4 for myself, and 6 for Zeno this week, which extends Cole's lead to 6 points over me and 20 points over Zeno.
Zeno's coming back a little bit, though.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was looking really bad there for a second.
A little bit surely.
All right. Well, we're not going to do predictions this week because we've got a gap to Baku, which I believe is like the 10th of June.
Can I just say that Leclerc Perez was looking fucking fire for a hot second there.
It was. It was.
Sorry, continue.
Anyway. Yeah. No, yeah, I know. So no
predictions this week. We've got Baku coming up in 2 weeks, which is, I think, my favorite race of the season.
Really?
I love that track. It's a mixture of tight streets with long straights, and it causes some weird setup configurations because they've got, I think, like what's the longest, I don't know if it still is, but it was the fastest straight on the circuit. And now I believe
Saudi, I know Nico is, Rosberg is terrible of it because terrified of it because yep. of that. They have where like the pit entry barrier kind of juts yeah. out right in the things. So if you blow a tire or something, you could like head on collision.
Yeah, like Max almost did yeah. last year.
Yeah.
But it's got these like incredibly fast straights, but then it like winds back in the city with some 90 degree turns and this cool little S. I don't know. It's my favorite track to race on the video game, which plays into it, but it's also, I think, just a really cool track. And
they race around a castle.
They race around cool. a castle, and yeah, it's a lot of fun. So we'll cover that next week in a quick Baku preview, and we'll get into our predictions then. But in the meantime, there is a Carolina Hurricanes game, playoff game on tonight, so we're gonna go watch that. Go Canes.
Let's go Canes.
Fuck the Rangers. In the meantime, yeah. Check us out, latebreaks.com. Subscribe, like, share, and review.
Follow us on Twitter.
On Twitter. Yeah, no. Follow us on Twitter. Review us on Apple Podcasts. We're up to 6 reviews now.
Are we really?
I think so. Maybe 5.
Woo, look at us.
Need your help getting to 10.
Yeah, we want double digits, please.
All right, everybody. Tune in next week. Until then, go Canes.
Bye. Okay.